Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio and Wyoming Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It's the 22nd of January, a Thursday in 2026. One former and two current state senators are challenging a new property tax policy in court. Montana Public Radio Shaley Rager reports the lawsuit amplifies a fracture between Republican lawmakers.
The three GOP legislators argue that Senate Bill 542 violated constitutional requirements for lawmaking. They say the original bill's intent was warped by amendments, and the final product, law, rolls too many subjects together. The bill originally proposed freezing property values for 2 years. It was later amended to create a tiered property tax system, imposing higher rates on higher value homes. It also authorized one-time tax rebates. The lawsuit cites Senator Greg Hertz of Polson, one of the plaintiffs, speaking on the Senate floor about the bill last spring.
So it's completely turned upside down and I believe violates Article 5, Section 11 of the Montana Constitution.
Governor Greg Gianforte's office said he cannot comment on pending litigation, but that he was proud to sign the bill into law. He said property taxes will increase significantly if the lawsuit is successful. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
University of Montana President Seth Bodner's resignation, announced Wednesday, sent shockwaves across the state. As Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports, it also led to more questions than answers.
Bodner's announcement was emailed to the UM campus community first thing Wednesday morning. Speculation about his future caught fire last week after former Senator John Tester expressed support for Bodner running for the U.S. Senate as an independent. If Bodner has political ambition, he's keeping mum about it for now. Wednesday's announcement made no direct mention of his plans, save one line that could be open to interpretation. Mentioning his wife, he said, quote, "Service has always been the animating force of my life, and Chelsea and I would like to consider whether to pursue a new way to serve our state and our nation." The ambiguity isn't stopping political tongues from wagging. Conservative Political Action Committee, Leadership in Action, released an ad Wednesday afternoon criticizing Bodner for mulling a Senate run while working as a state employee.
Seth Bodner, planning a Senate run on the taxpayer's dime is wrong, but Bodner's record...
Bodner declined all media interview requests Wednesday. The announcement did not specify when the resignation takes effect or who will lead UM on an interim basis. UM spokesman Dave Kuntz tells MTPR Bodner's departure comes in the middle of the school year and with shorter notice than usual. Despite this, he says officials expect an expedited search for Bodner's replacement. According to Kuntz, Montana Commissioner of Higher Education Clayton Christian will help ensure the campus seamlessly navigates the leadership change. Bodner led UM for 8 years. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
While Montana Public Radio is licensed to the University of Montana, no UM officials or station management reviewed this coverage or had any editorial input. Wyoming lawmakers are considering cutting over 600 core subjects and elementary school teachers across the state to save money. Jackson, Wyoming's KHOL's Sophia Boyd-Fliegel reports education leaders are trying to sound the alarm.
Consultants previously recommended that Wyoming boost education spending by $100 million, but lawmakers on a select committee overseeing a recalibration of school finances have so far proposed an increase of $11 million. If they stick with that smaller funding bump, Kim Amon with the Wyoming Education Association says,
And the real losers in this are our students.
Over 93% of Wyoming families enroll in public schools. Amon added lawmakers are putting more money into career and technical education. She says that's good, especially in a state where
we have a lot of industry where CTE is valuable.
But she added that's a small win in the face of big cuts. The School Finance Recalibration Committee meets later this week to finalize proposed legislation. Sophia Boyd-Fliegel, KHOL News.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently launched its new Regenerative Agriculture Pilot Program. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more on what that means for Montanan farmers and ranchers.
The federal government is offering $700 million in funding for farmers and ranchers who prioritize the health of the land they work. It's part of a pilot program facilitated by the Natural Resources and Conservation Service. Gail Berry, Montana State Conservationist with the NRCS.
It's going to help those landowners that are interested improve soil health, water management, and the natural vitality of our agriculture communities in Montana, which is huge.
Berry explains through the new program, producers can submit a single application and get connected with the right funding opportunities. These programs will measure things like soil health and help them track it along the way. Then they get reimbursed for utilizing those practices.
This is really a program that allows us to work even more closely with those folks who might already be doing something good and maybe want to do some more. Or if they haven't dipped their toe in the water yet and they're interested in just learning about it.
The program is part of the federal initiative to make America healthy again, which says human health starts with our farms. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
A Sublette County, Wyoming cattle herd is being quarantined for brucellosis, a bacterial disease that can cause cattle to abort fetuses. Routine annual testing identified brucellosis in the Sublette herd, according to a January 20th Wyoming Livestock Board news release. Another herd in Park County, Wyoming was previously placed under quarantine as well. Both counties are part of Wyoming's brucellosis designated surveillance area, which requires beefed-up surveillance and vaccination for the disease. The Livestock's news release says identification of brucellosis-positive cattle is not uncommon within Wyoming's DSA, where a brucellosis reservoir in wildlife occasionally spills over into cattle. It is common for wildlife like elk and bison to carry brucellosis and pass it on to livestock through infected birthing fluids. In northwest Wyoming, Yellowstone National Park, which is home to wild elk and bison, carries that risk for surrounding ranchers. The bacterial disease causes abortion in cattle, elk, and bison. It can also spread to humans as an undulant fever, although it's extremely rare in the U.S. According to the Wyoming Department of Health, human death from the disease occurs in less than 2% of cases. Satellite measurements show Colstrip Power Plant in south-central Montana emits the fourth-largest carbon dioxide plume in the U.S. Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection has the details.
A tool called Carbon Mapper displays measurements from multiple satellite and aircraft measurements. They show the plant emits more than 1.5 million pounds of CO2 pollution per hour. That's the equivalent of burning 4 rail cars of coal. Riley Duran is Carbon Mapper's founder and CEO, a nonprofit that measures climate warming greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane.
Specifically, what we do is pinpoint the locations and the emission rates of emissions from individual pieces of equipment.
Carbon Mapper's online data portal includes CO2 and methane plumes, visualizing how far they extend beyond the facilities generating them. Duran says all the information on the website is free to the public. It's one of a number of private companies, nonprofits, and governments monitoring polluters as the Trump administration proposes ending emissions reporting requirements. I'm Laura Hatch, reporting.
That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.